Today has been a wonderful morning. I got Kaylee to give me five this morning, and so that made my morning. I told her I was going to be her soon-to-be neighbor. When Kristen told her that, she actually smiled. So I'm making progress. Psalm 139, verse 14. Our pearly peacockers out there, you may know that verse. I have to say that I don't keep up with the trendy flares of the modern style, but a shirt that I thought Kristen had bought, I thought said that because Samantha had bought like three of them. And so I thought, oh, that's the shirt. And then I asked Kristen this morning, we were doing laundry this morning. I was like, oh, no, that's not the shirt. So I thought for a while that Pearly Peacock didn't do a shirt, but then I found out it's a old school retro Pearly Peacock. So there's my advertising plug for the Pearly Peacock. But that verse says, 139:14 of Psalm says, I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. So what I take from that verse is, I am and you are one of a kind. I am and you are one of a kind. Let me take you on a little journey of how I got to where we're going with the lesson this morning. One of the things in the circle where I've been around, I've heard the thing Enneagram a lot. Apparently it's been around a long time. But in my circle, it started popping up, and so people at work were like, hey, I'm a one, I'm a six, I'm a four, I'm a five. And I was like, what is this? Went out to the National Conference of Youth Ministry in Colorado Springs, and lo and behold, I'm a one, I'm a two, I'm a three, I'm a four. So it got to me thinking about some stuff, and then some stuff's been going on at work. So this morning's lesson, if you were to entitle it, would be Understanding Yourself and then Understanding Where You Fit In God's Story. Understanding yourself to understand where you fit in God's story. We're going to, if you want to go ahead and turn to Psalm 139, we're actually going to read the first 18 verses of that psalm. But while we're looking at it, so I started taking these tests for fun. I took the Enneagram. Found out I was a two. Back a couple years ago at our staff retreat for work, we took the Myers-Briggs. Found out I was an ESFJ. Wow, I've got numbers and letters associated to me. Found this thing called DISC. Found out I was not a DISC, I was a backwards, S-I-D-C. I can't even spell the thing right with my letters. But what it helped me understand is who I am and what makes me who I am. Now, there may be people in this auditorium that can say, hey, I'm the exact same thing, but ultimately we're different. And as I learned about the Enneagram, I started learning about that it's what motivates you. It's what drives you. It's how you understand yourself. It's not an excuse for who I am. It's what motivates me. And it's really interesting because of some of the words. The DISC thing said I was a coach. I don't know if some could argue that. Some may not. The Enneagram said I was a helper. And it got to me thinking, you want to know what motivates me? Is being part of something beyond myself. So you were to stick me in this room and say, do all the work, I wouldn't do anything. I would not function. But if you do like I was part of something yesterday, a bunch of us helped somebody move, I had no problem pitching in and working because I was part of something greater than myself. My goal, what I motivate off of, is to help others, to be part of something. But on the flip side, when I'm in an unhealthy state, I find out a lot about myself. I can be very self-conscientious, absorbed in finding out what my self-worth is. And so as you look through this, it started me thinking a lot about this. Where do I fit in God's story with who I am? And maybe you ask yourself that question a lot. Maybe you're asking yourself, yeah, I've got talents, but where do I really fit in? My personality, how does that fit into God's story? See, I think a lot of times we think of church as one collective body that's all the same. But we are so different. Next weekend, I think we're going to figure out a lot of differences about each other. We're going to spend a weekend together in a cabin. It's not just Sunday morning where we put on our best. We're going to see the morning side of Johnny. We're going to see the evening side, which none of you see of my wife, because at 3 o'clock in the morning, she's going to be rocking because that's her schedule and you're going to be asleep. We're going to see different things. We're going to start to understand each other as a family. Chris actually posted, who's not here this morning, had said, you know, this whole weekend coming up, he wants to focus on it being about unity and about how we're a family here. Jaquan recently in his lessons has really been pushing us back to why do we do what we do? And if we're going to do it, then let's do it. And so as we've grown the last couple weeks in attendance, we're starting to figure out who we are and how we can fit together. But realizing that we're all individuals is going to be key, and that we're all different personalities. And so let's read Psalm 139, because that verse comes from a very awesome passage that really helps us understand what God tells us as individuals. Psalm 139, starting in verse 1. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all of my ways. Before a word is out of my tongue, you know it. You know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wonderful knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I live in the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All of my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how precious your thoughts are to me. How vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, I am still with you. Wow. The God of this wonderful universe made me wonderfully and remarkably individualistic and said, Sean, you are one of a kind. Now take your name and put that in that statement. You say to yourself, I am remarkably and wonderfully made. And all my quirks and my weird personalities and my driving factors, my motives, the things that hinder me, that scare me, that cause me fear, cause me anger, is unique to me. And no one else can be me, and no one else can be you. Powerful, isn't it? So as I was at the National Conference of Youth Ministry, a speaker was talking, and I am very random on how I make up my lessons, because I hear something and then it's over here for a while, and it's something and it comes together in this big pot, and we mix it together. And this person said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fire. Would they have done it alone? What an interesting concept. I went back and read. It doesn't really say, but it got me thinking about, would they? What if they were like Sean? They wouldn't have. I wouldn't have gone in the fire by myself. I don't know if I'd gone there with some of you. I don't know. But I'd been more likely to go in there as a group. So you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, okay, they were uniquely individuals, but they bonded together and they needed that sense of team. Then you turn the pages and you look at Daniel. Here's a guy that said, oh, I'll do it on my own. I'm going to be who I am because that's me. And he was I don't know his personality. I've never met Daniel. But he had a different personality. And so I just started thinking about people. David. Adventurer dude, man. Goes out by himself as a kid and goes out and fights a giant. I'd have been like, hey, let's form a team. Go fight the giant. You think about Moses. Moses is sometimes like me a lot of times. I relate to Moses. Yeah, God, I can do that, but let me tell you know, here's my weaknesses. God says, all right, I'm going to put somebody with you, your brother. You two are going to form a strong team. And the list goes on. And we could go through every character in the Bible. And they're not characters. I hate saying character. People in the Bible. Sometimes we separate them out as characters that in a storybook land. They're real people. They had personalities. And so maybe As you're going through your study of the Bible, find someone that fits your personality to help you understand you more. But remember this, they were just like me, just like you. God made them wonderfully and remarkably, and they are one of a kind. They may have stories that last forever. Ours may not. But God sees us the same. We are all different, but we belong in God's story. So it's interesting. I'm going to read two passages that we're very familiar with because we read them a lot when we talk about unity. And there's nothing wrong with reading it, but I want you to think about this is when you're, how does your personality, how does your uniqueness sit in the story of God? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we obviously know that whole chapter talks about spiritual gifts and unity. But let's look at 21 through 25 of chapter 12. So actually, start in verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with great honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. And so you read that and you think about, all right, unity. But stop and think about this. If we're all individually made and different, then we all got value in God's eyes, then we need to figure out how to work together for that part. My personality may be to be up in front of you and talking, and you can assume that means I'm a very take charge kind of lead, but ultimately I'm a step back and follow and be part of a team. We may have some in here that are the type that are very authoritative and they fit in. And so sometimes what happens in personalities is your personality may be a lesser type aggression. It's more individualistic, and so you stand back. You say, well, I don't fit in the picture because I don't have a voice, or nobody listens to me, or I don't want to speak up. But God says you're not any less. If anything, He says you're just as much important, and without you, we can't all exist. If there was 50 Sean's in this auditorium, it'd be kind of boring because you'd all be saying the same thing I am right now. If there was 50 John's, it'd be an entertaining morning, wouldn't it? But we're all uniquely different, even though sometimes we look the same. And when we take value in that, we can see where God really wants to use us. And so the challenge has been more to myself this morning, but it's also to you. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Same thing. It's a passage we've read before, but read this with the mindset of you are individually, remarkably, and wonderfully made. And how do you fit in to God's story? Starting in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Romans. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. And for years, I memorized that verse and stopped. But now look at 3 through 8. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. How powerful is God's kingdom when people understand where they fit in the story? Two things have to happen. First of all, you got to figure out who you are. And second of all, you got to say, I am part of God's story, and that's my responsibility to be part of it. And I'm going to utilize myself in my ways to do that. I was reading an article that talked about how people go to church and they're looking for a church where their personality fits. And sometimes they're like, they're church seeking. And it was this article about these personalities. And the article came back to basically say, use your personality where you're at. Find that hobby, find that desire that you can help serve God and serve others with your personality. The challenge is not just to say, oh, I'm an Enneagram 2, or I'm an ESFJ, or I'm a whatever I said in that disc thing. The challenge is to say, I need to find a way for me to utilize my personality to serve God and serve others. And I need to seek that out. Because God made me in a unique way. Take away the I am me on all these statements and apply it to yourself. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is a verse that I used a lot when I speak for healing hands. But reading it, it stood out. And it actually was in a lot of articles I was reading as I was preparing for this lesson. For we are His creation. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. So if God said, I created you wonderfully and remarkably, individualistically, I created you as a unique person, then He's saying, I expect you to use your who you are to do good works. So He gives us what we are, and He gives us a challenge. As we close out this morning, I want to read something that I read, and then we'll offer an invitation. This is not me, this is someone else writing. God loved us and saved us while we were still sinners. And you can bet He didn't restore us to be generic non-persons. As Peter Scazzaro observes, in emotionally healthy spiritually, God cares about our personalities. And this is what he wrote. God intends our deeper, truer self, which He created, to blossom freely as we follow Him. God has endowed us each of us with certain essential qualities that reflect and express Him in a unique way. Part of the sanctification process of the Holy Spirit is to strip away the false construct we have accumulated and enable our true selves to emerge. The challenge is simple. God created you for a reason. Are we letting ourselves get caught up and buried so deep in stuff that we're not letting the Spirit truly work through us? Are we truly being who we are, and are we wanting to be part of God's story? I think the answer is yes. Sometimes we just need help. Sometimes we just need to stop and say, who am I? And then find our way into God's story, because He's wanting us there. He's got our name in the book. We're in the story. It's just, are we back page that didn't do anything? Are we in the story doing something? This morning, I know that we all come from different places and we all go through different things. A lot's on our hearts this week as we lost Miss Brodnicki in a tragic health situation. And we think about how unique we are, but we all care for each other. We all love each other. So when I offer an invitation, the invitation is open for those who want to know more about Jesus, and that there's always someone here to study, and there's always an opportunity if you want to commit yourself to Him and be part of that story in the process of going through that, study and baptism, living faithfully. But then also we can share with one another. We're a family, are we not? And then a lot of times we don't stop and say, hey, God, You're working in my life. Let me tell you how. We can also share in our successes, which I know we do a lot in Family Matters, which is coming up soon. Whatever your need is, I encourage you to come forward as together we stand and sing.